And we're actually going to continue our Christmas series this morning. Obviously, we looked at a Christmas carol last week, Joy to the World. Who's still feeling sorry for Isaac Watts and his love story? Today, we're going to continue on. We sang today, O Holy Night. O Holy Night. Who loves O Holy Night? I must say it's one of my favorites every year. I think it's because growing up, my sister was a singer and at the local Christmas carols up in Toowoomba, she sang that every year. And so the parents and the whole family were very proud of O Holy Night. But O Holy Night for me is such a beautiful song. In fact, I found myself in tears singing it going, oh, I'm glad it's dark in here, you know, because there's just something so powerful about the lyrics in that carol. And last week, as I started this Christmas series, I mentioned that Beck every year always says to me, I love that we sing Christmas carols. I love hearing carols in the shops because people are singing about Jesus, a Jesus they may not even know. But the truth of Jesus is being put out there and they're hearing it. Such a beautiful time to hear the declaration of who Jesus is. And I want to just share one little verse from that carol. And it says this, long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and soul felt its worth. The moment that Jesus arrived and all of a sudden we're not just a number but we're a person and a soul came alive. You're of value. You're a value. You're not just a number. You're not just, I just think in this world we live in right now, we're looking at people like numbers. But you know what? You're valuable to God. You are valuable to God. And when Jesus arrived here on earth, our soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary soul rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I got to say, if there's a prayer for our world right now, it's for that to happen again. For that to happen again. I mean, just over 2,000 years ago, to think that God came down to earth on a rescue mission for you and I in the form of a baby. At a time where Roman rule and oppression was rife, Jesus came to us. Reminds me of that sort of saying, you know, that saying says it's always darkest before the dawn. That's what happened before Jesus came. In John 1, 4 to 5, I love the description given to Jesus and his existence. It says this about Jesus. In him was life, and life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I don't think we truly can comprehend the world that Jesus was born into. But there's one thing for sure, the world needed a savior at that time. Just like the world still needs that Savior being Jesus. The light of the world to break through the darkest hour. We need Jesus. You know, O Holy Night to me, I got to say, is a great song of comfort. Every time I hear it, it speaks to me this beautiful night of the birth of Jesus. But just like last week, we're going to have a look at where this song came from and how it came to be because we sing this song as a tradition, but what was its story? And the power of this song as you sing it, and as I said over last week, was that my hope and Beck's hope this Christmas season is if you get caught up in the silly season, you won't lose your mind. You won't get distracted by all the things you have to do for mum and dad and the family and the weird uncle and the visitors and how the house has to look and have I got the right gifts. But maybe this Christmas you'll stop and reflect on Jesus. And every time you hear this song, O Holy Night, I hope you stop and remember the words we talk about today. Stop and talk and really just reflect on the things we talk about today. The song we actually sang earlier today was written in 1847. Pretty old. 1847. In a small French village. The story is that the local Catholic priest, he had got a new organ in his church. And he found a poet that was very well known, and he said, hey, would you write me a Christmas song for our Christmas mass? This guy was named Placide Capier de Roquemier. Oui, oui. Baguette, baguette. You know, so so Placide gets called upon to write a poem. And he says to the priest, okay, I'll write you a poem. I'm going to write you a Christmas poem. And he wrote this, and as he was writing it, and by the way, Placide had a really good job. He was actually the local wine distributor. And the Bottle-O. We've truly arrived in the Redlands. He ran the Bottle-O. a little bit classier, okay? But that was his job, the distribution of the local wine. And he caught up with one of his mates who was actually a composer who wrote ballets and different shows. And his name was Adolf Charles Adams, who was very famous for his writings. And they put this song together on an afternoon and they brought it to this priest, which they sang it that very first Christmas Mass. What's really fascinating about Placide and his friend was Jewish, and so his friend had no interest in the words of the song written. Had no interest. And Placide, apparently, he wasn't really quite Catholic. He was kind of Catholic. And then he actually left the church shortly after, and he went and became part of a socialist group. And so now the church was stuck with a hit song. The story goes that that first Christmas Eve, it was an absolute hit, and over the next few years, Catholic churches all over the region started singing this song, O Holy Night. But then, one year, someone did some investigation into the guys that wrote it, and they discovered the scandal. They don't believe in it. It's not religious enough. And actually got shut down by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church said, it's not a spirit of religion in this song. We can't be singing this. This is a scandal. They don't come to church. And so this is what happened. I mean, amazing that they said there's absolutely nothing religious about the song. I mean, one of the lines says, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. You know, it's interesting. They tried to silence this song in France. They tried to stop it from being played in France. But somehow it got to the Americas as well. And it's a pretty incredible story about how something that was tried to be silenced, the truth of God was tried to be silenced, and God just has a sense of humor. He had the sense of humor. He was like, oh, okay. Yeah, they wrote it. They didn't know what they wrote, but this is going to speak to the nations. And so it arrived in the Americas. And as I was reading about this story, as I said, like, I've never even looked into these carols before this series, but I'm like getting my mind blown by these carols that are being written. The story is it actually took 8 years to leave France and make its way to America. It actually fell upon an American writer's ears. His name was John Sullivan Dwight. And Dwight felt that the incredible Christmas song needed to be introduced to his fellow Americans, not only because it told a timeless Christmas story, but because Dwight at the time was a fervent abolitionist. So he strongly identified with the lines in this carol where it says, truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease. Dwight translated the song in English and published it with the title, O Holy Night. In 1955 he published it. And what happened after that is quite amazing. The song caught on and actually became a major song as part of the North during the Civil Rights Movement, the Civil War. And what's incredible, they used this as a tool to share Jesus' love in regards to slavery. It was like the theme, it was the anthem to say, hang on, what is Jesus actually all about? How can we have slavery? It was in 1865, 10 years later, that slavery was abolished, and in one day, 100,000 slaves were set free. Wow. What a beautiful picture of God's love in that moment. You know, the power of this song, O Holy Night, has so many stories connected to its lyrics. I read so many of them this week. One story is how it disarmed war itself. Those who were at war and hating each other. Back in France, the place where the song was banned, even though it was banned, it still kept gaining popularity, not in church, but in the mainstream. People loved this song. And it was said, there's this legend that on Christmas Eve in 1871, in the midst of the fierce fighting between Germany and France during the Franco-Prussian War, a French soldier jumped out of his muddy foxhole and with no weapon in his hand lifted his eyes to the heavens and sang the first verse of the song. As he reached the end, a German soldier climbed unarmed out of his trench and began to sing Martin Luther's Christmas hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. The fighting stopped immediately and the soldiers held to a ceasefire for Christmas Day. The story is simply too good to be true, and there's a whole bunch of history about this moment. I love that a song stopped a war for Christmas Day. How could such a song hold such power? Well, as I was looking into it this week, I just wholeheartedly believe it speaks the truth of Jesus. We talked about Jesus claiming to be the embodiment of truth weeks ago and the truth being able to set people free. Well, when these lyrics are sung, it does wonder for our souls, declaring who Jesus is and what he came to earth to do. I find the next verse of the carol so beautiful. The first lyric simply says, "Fall on your knees." The exact thing you and I would do in the presence of a king, or even greater, our God. The inspiration for this verse is actually found in Luke 2:8-20. I want to read it right now, straight from the scripture. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what he had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Oh, hear the angels' voices. What a beautiful lyric. What were the angels saying to the shepherds that night? Glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. Do you hear their voices this morning? Can you hear them? God's voice to you and I this morning, speaking to us like he spoke to the shepherds just over 2,000 years ago. Peace to those who his favor rests. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know that this peace is available to you through this Christmas season every day. His favor is upon you. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. You know, there's something so timeless and powerful about this carol. It's held in the history books to actually be, and when I found this out, I had no idea. This song was the first song ever to be played on the radio. Ever. In 1906, a 33-year-old professor, former chemist to Thomas Edison, named Reginald Fessenden. It's a great name if you're having a baby this Christmas. We shall call him Reginald Fessenden. Hamilton. We're not having a baby, all right? We're not. Now down the track, and we do have kids, you'll all be like, "Is it Reginald?" All right? So the story is, this guy created an invention which was crazy at the time. In 1906, he spoke into a microphone for the very first time and broadcast it over the airwaves. The first things that came out of a radio microphone was literally the words just before I read in that passage of scripture. This was what was read first on the radio. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed," and so on. The story of the birth of Jesus was the first thing declared on the airways. Directly after that, Reginald grabbed his violin and played "O Holy Night." The song itself is beautiful in its simplicity. It tells of a night different than all other nights, a night marked as holy. The moment where God broke into our existence and made a way for us to be reconciled to Him. I love that the song doesn't just tell us about Jesus, but reveals to us how we should respond to knowing Him. We're called to remember the source of all we are. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise His holy name. Church, we're called to praise God at all times, in all places, because of what God has done for us through Christ Jesus. On that night in Bethlehem, Christ came to us. Now, I love that God used a social wine distributor, a socialist, a Jewish guy, to bring this song to life. It's just how God works. I mean, to think that God used a teenage unwed mother and a Jewish carpenter in the little town, in the Middle Eastern town called Bethlehem, to bring us hope that we need today. I mean, think about the story of how it all came about. Thank God for Jesus. You know, with all that's happening with COVID and the new rules being brought into place, my heart wept this week. There is no doubt a weary world out there is in need of hope. There are people out there in need of love and peace. They're our own friends and family who are shackled by grief and depression and loneliness, and people who don't even know Jesus, who are held in bondage spiritually but also physically by oppressive systems and powers and prejudice. Vaxxed or not vaxxed, let's be the church that can be inspired by these lyrics through this Christmas season. And let's look again to what Jesus taught us. Truly, He taught us to love one another. His law is love and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Finally, no matter what occurs today, tomorrow, or in the next week, month, or year's time, let's always declare the truth found in the second chorus of the song. Christ is the Lord. I praise His name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You are in control, that You bring peace in a season that may have turmoil. God, I want to pray for those in this place right now who are feeling that restlessness, who need to tap into that peace. That peace that the angels brought on that day, on that evening. The peace is provided for those who have His favor. God, we thank You for that favor. Some of you in this room, you don't feel that peace. You've never received Jesus. You've never actually said, you know what, I want to follow Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I need this supernatural peace in this time that we live in. If you want that peace, it's as simple as this. Jesus came to the earth on a rescue mission in the form of a baby. 33 years later, He died on a cross for you and for I. He died on a cross for our sins, for our brokenness, for our mess, so we could be right with God. The great news is, though, He didn't stay on the cross. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And that's why we're still talking about Him. And that life that He brought 3 days later, He can bring to your life. Maybe your life is feeling like it's in the grave right now. You need to be resurrected because of what Jesus did. And I want to give you that chance. If you want me to pray for you right now, go, you know what? This season, I'm going to seek You, Jesus. I'm going to start my journey of faith. And you'd like me to pray for you right now. Would you just raise your hand around the room so I can pray for you? Go, I need that peace. Yeah, I see that hand. It's amazing. If you need that peace, just raise your hand. Yeah, I see that hand at the back. I see that as well. If you're like, I want to follow You, Jesus. I want to know what Jesus is all about. I want to know why You came to earth. I want to start my journey of faith. If that's you, your heart is pounding right now and you're like, I need that peace for me, my life, my family. I need that peace in this Christmas season. If that's you, don't waste this time. Don't miss it. Just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Yeah, I see that hand as well. Amazing. Jesus, we thank you for the peace that you bring. God, for those that have said, you know, I need to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to seek you out, Jesus. I'm going to do that. God, I pray that you will meet each and every one of those individuals that raise their hand out of faith to say, God, I know that you are who you said you are. I need you in my life. I need that peace. I need that favor in my life through this Christmas season in my life. God, I pray that you would meet them where they're at on their journey of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.